Tweeting is not good. Tweets never really helped anybody. When someone throws their opinion out publicly in writing, in a very short blast of comment, it's usually not good for anybody. Nobody really wins with tweets. And I can't believe I'm saying this. I can't believe that I can acquaint the word tweet, which is a sound that a little bird makes, compared to the president of the United States. It's beneath a president to tweet or to twat. I don't know what the verb is. A tweet is something that you, a very limited number of characters, and you make an assertion in writing to everybody. That's a tweet. When you're performing the tweet, is that not a twat? Are you not twatting? I don't know the terminology. I probably have it wrong. It is beneath the President of the United States to tweet it. Tweeting never works for anybody. It puts you on record in a very short, unexplained manner. It's just absurd, man. It's absurd. And thank goodness that the President of the United States, that Trump guy, thank goodness he promised that he would not do any more tweeting once he became president. Thank God he stopped tweeting.
Tweeted today, at real Donald Trump, I tweet. And that's, you know, it solves it. Don't worry, I'll give it up after I'm president. We won't tweet anymore, I don't think. Not presidential.
It's not presidential, you say. Well, I'm certainly glad you stopped tweeting. The Wall Street Journal, which usually favors the Republicans and the president, a Republican president, because they represent business, and what more does the Wall Street Journal do but represent business? They actually, today, put out a scathing editorial about Donald Trump's ridiculous tweeting and how it is ruining his ability to be president. Well, I think his ability to become president and act presidential is kind of funny to begin with. Here's a couple of things that the editorial says, and I quote, "If President Trump announces that North Korea launched a missile that landed within 100 miles of Hawaii, would most Americans believe him? Would the rest of the world? We're not sure, which speaks to the damage that Mr. Trump is doing to his presidency. With his seemingly endless stream of exaggerations, evidence-free accusations, implausible denials, and other falsehoods." The Wall Street Journal goes on to say, 2 months into his presidency, Gallup has Mr. Trump's approval rating at 39%. No doubt Mr. Trump considers that fake news. But if he doesn't show more respect for the truth, most Americans may conclude that he's a fake president. Yeah, I believe he is.
Ron Van Dam is an experienced talk show host. Do not attempt to try this at home.
On the air everywhere, this is New England Broadcasting.
Welcome to the Ron Van Dam Show. Hold on tight, things can get a bit weird. If you like that sort of thing.
Hey.
Whatever.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, good night. It's the Ron Van Dam Show.
Surprise!
back, relax, grab a cup of coffee, a cup of tea, whatever your liquid libation may be in the morning, and join us as we take a look at the world around us. As much as it's a pleasure to be with you, the pleasure is actually all yours. And now, here's your host, Ron Van Dam.
Thank you, Julie. Welcome to the program. Oh, thanks for coming. Did you bring anything? Did you bring like a little pie or something? A little cake? No? You didn't bring dessert? Well, that's kind of rude. I ask you into a show to enjoy the next 45 minutes to an hour, however long the stupid thing is, and you come with nothing? You sit there and you listen to this thing for free, and you come with nothing? How dare you! The indignancy of your life! Did your parents not teach you manners? At least bring a check for $100 made out to me, at the very least. But no, you come with nothing. Your hands are clean. How dare you? How dare you, sir? I said good day, sir. I said good day. How dare you? Isn't it funny that when we become indignant, we put on a British accent? It's like they are the kings of expressing indignancy. How dare you? We just jump right into the accent. It's kind of weird, you know. Hey, Bob, did you bring my shovel back that you borrowed last week?
I forgot.
You forgot? How dare you come over here without my shovel when I had the decency to lend you my shovel because you had to dig out immediately, and I said, give the man a shovel, will you? I have plenty of shovels. And then it goes on. 1 week, 2 weeks, 3 months, 17 years, and you don't bring the shovel back. I ask you over here, and you come empty-handed. How dare you? Good day, sir. I said good day. And yet the British are so, like, laid back. It's not like they're violent, like they're professional wrestlers or anything. They're scrawny little people with yellow teeth and smell like smoke all the time and never change their clothes. So how is that, how dare you become indignant when you don't even change your clothes every day? I think I've told the story before. I have no idea. I don't keep a log of what I talk about. What do you think? I've got time for that? Actually, I do. I went to England decades ago and stayed with some people that my girlfriend at the time had known them. And she said, we can go to England and stay with these friends that I have who live in England. They live in Stratford-upon-Avon, which is where Shakespeare had his theater and where Shakespeare lived and stuff. And I thought, well, that's fascinating. I mean,
that's fascinating.
So we went there. We flew to England, and we went to Stratford-upon-Avon, which is outside of London, a beautiful, beautiful township. A lot of tourism because it was Shakespeare's place, Shakespeare's hangout. And we stayed with this guy who was very, very well off. He was 28 years old, and yet he was retired because his family had a lot of money, so he didn't have to work. So he lived in this beautiful townhouse kind of place, and he didn't work. He just And he was well off. And we went there and we stayed overnight. And it was very, very nice. And this big, beautiful guest bedroom was huge. And the next morning, my girlfriend and I got up and we went to the breakfast kitchen table there. And the guy and his girlfriend are wearing the same clothes they wore the day before. And I looked at my girlfriend and I said, well, okay, this is weird. Guy apparently hasn't showered. Or if he has, he put his dirty clothes back on, but they were very nice clothes. He was not a bum, is the point. He was not a bum. They had an extensive wardrobe. Well, we spent the day walking around and, you know, taking little tours and stuff like that. Went out to dinner. Went back to his place. Girlfriend and I went into this guest bedroom. Had a very nice sleep. Woke up the next morning. Went down to the kitchen to have breakfast. Here's the guy and his girlfriend who are hosting us. It's their beautiful townhouse. Wearing the same clothes again. This ridiculous striped shirt looked like it was stolen from the Kingston Trio. Half of you don't know who the Kingston Trio is. I apologize. They wore striped shirts all the time. It's the same shirt. Now, and I noticed that the guy's hair was not as fluffy as it was the previous days. It started to get kind of very thin and very dirty looking. I swear this is true, ladies and gentlemen. The third day, we spend the whole day with him, go to bed at night, wake up the next morning. Fourth day in a row, he and his girlfriend were wearing the exact same clothes. I said to my girlfriend, I said, can I bring this up in conversation? Can I ask them, like, why they haven't showered or changed their clothes in 4 days? Can I do this? She said, no. No, you can't. It's too personal. That's the way people are here in England. They don't change their clothes every day like we do. I said, okay, but do they ever shower? Because they're starting to smell a little raunchy. And I know they have a lot of money because we're staying in a very nice place that they have. And I've seen the closets. There's probably clothes in them. But they're not using them. And they said, no, you can't do that. That would be embarrassing. I said, why? I'm trying to learn. And I read up on it, and indeed, they don't change their clothes every day. Apparently, they don't brush their teeth either. Now, if you're British and I'm insulting you, I apologize, but this is what I found out. And if I'm wrong and I was told the wrong information, I think I'm still pretty close to it. So I don't know what's up with you guys.
You have the audacity not to change your clothes in front of me.
My girlfriend said that Americans shower and change their clothes too much. And I kind of agree with that. We're over clean here. We really are. It's not good to wash your hair every day. It's not good for your hair. You need to build up a little bit of oil in your hair, just like your car needs a lube job. I don't know. We do tend to, I do know a couple of people that shower twice a day.
Why?
That's a little weird. I think it's a little weird. I think we're over clean here. I really do. I have another friend who brushes her teeth 3 times a day. She's not an oral hygienist or anything like that. I think she's just over the top as far as cleanliness is concerned. I think you can go too far with anything. I really do. And I guess Americans might be overly clean. Although most of the Americans I know are even worse than the British. They never shower at all. So I don't know. I'm not sure about that. You know, men famously don't change their underpants every day. A little secret. I'm not saying I do. I'm not saying I don't. But I do, because my crotch gets a little weird down there. It gets a little sticky. And you don't want a sticky crotch. I don't know what happens down there with the women. But with the men, you don't want the sticky crotch, because every once in a while, someone will catch you scratching your crotch. Not pleasant to look at. Not exactly a sexual come on. Hey, you want to go to bed while I scratch my crotch? No, I don't. No. All right. We're going to take a quick break. We do have a wonderful guest today. We're going to talk about... I'm sorry. Some buildup has occurred in my throat. I don't know what's in there, but it ain't pleasant. Some buildup in there. We'll be right back after these words with our guest, and more talk and more ridiculous stuff.
Wildlife poaching doesn't just happen in faraway places. It's a crime committed against countless wild animals all around you. Poachers don't care about hunting seasons, endangered species, or even the safety of other humans. The Humane Society Wildlife Land Trust, which protects wild animals through habitat preservation and by confronting cruelty, needs your help. Learn your state's wildlife laws, so when you witness a crime against a wild animal, you can report it immediately. Help protect wildlife at wildlifelandtrust.org.
Smart lights, smart locks, smart thermostats. You love your new connected technology. And the Consumer Technology Association wants to help you protect the security of your devices. First, don't use default or easy-to-guess passwords. Create unique ones and keep them safe. Next, look for and install security updates from device manufacturers. Also, have an active firewall for your home router. And consider using a professional installer to set up your new devices. Easy tips from the Consumer Technology Association to help keep your devices secure.
Hey, you know, we do this show every single weekday. It's true. I hope that you make listening to this program a habit. Not a bad one, but a good one. This isn't like smoking or drinking. Well, it is like drinking, to be honest with you. But still, we do this every single weekday, unless it's Thanksgiving or Christmas or New Year's or something, because it's a holiday. Otherwise, I'm here. So stop on by. You can listen to us on whatever device you're listening to us right now, your smartphone, your tablet, your computer. That's a great thing about it. It's not like, oh, it was 10 o'clock, I missed Ron's show today. It's always here. It's always here like an annoying kind of sore. It oozes continually. Also, you can hear us on TuneIn Radio. You can hear us on iTunes and the Podbean Network and other syndicated things that you listen to. That's pretty cool. I gotta tell you, I go to the symphony every once in a while, and I've talked about this before. About a month ago, I went to hear the Rhode Island Philharmonic, which sounds like a joke. Rhode Island has a symphony orchestra? Yeah, they do. And you know what? They're incredible. I mean, they are incredible. And I'm not just saying that. Well, I am just saying that. They are incredible. So I went last month, and I went again this past weekend. They had they played Brahms Symphony Number 2 and some kind of violin concerto, another Brahms piece. And I fell asleep a little bit, but the part that I heard was incredible. I can't go to a symphony performance without falling asleep. It's just is not to be done. So I go to the symphony last Saturday night, and again, only me. Things happen to only me, it seems.
And now it's time for one of Ron's funny stories. You could practically hear the quotes around funny, couldn't you?
By the way, this was not the music that the Rhode Island Symphony was playing. So I go to the symphony, and my only problem with going to musical concerts or any place in large groups, any theaters, is the fact that I have to sit next to members of the public. And it just seems that every time I go out in public and sit in a theater, that somehow it's arranged that I will sit next to the most annoying people ever created on the planet. It's taught me a lesson that people suck. That's the lesson it's taught me. You got to learn from every experience. The learning here was generally people suck, but sometimes not on purpose. And that's the part that's difficult to deal with. I'm sitting there, and it's sold out. And I'm sitting there, and To the left of me is this woman. She's about 70, 75 years old. Fine shape, no wheelchair, nothing like that. And she's sitting next to me, and next to her is her husband. Again, around the same age group, very, very nice man. As a matter of fact, when I was getting my seat, they had to stand up because I had to squeeze by them, and they were very polite and very, very nice. So I sit down and waiting for the concert to begin, and this woman is, she's to my left, and all of a sudden, this is what I hear. And I thought, okay, she's clearing her throat. Maybe a bug got caught in there. Maybe a little flap of her skin, because it tends to droop a lot at that age. Maybe that got caught in her throat. Maybe she was clearing her throat. Okay, fine. Then at various intervals of about a minute and a half to 2 minutes, I hear... phlegm is becoming involved in the mixture here. When you mix in phlegm with any type of exterior mouth activity, I become very concerned that someone who is sitting no more than 6 inches away from my face apparently is coughing out into the open air. And then I say to myself, okay, great, for the next 2 hours I have to breathe through my nose. Hopefully my nose is working properly and filtering out all the crap that this lady is coughing into the air. What can I do about it? I can't turn to my left and say, excuse me, could you hold your breath for 2 hours and stop coughing? I can't do it. This concerns me. Through the whole concert, I'm concerned about, I'm going to get sick. Yeah, Ron, talk yourself into it. That's not the worst of it. Behind me are two ladies. I think they're in their 40s. They're talking about their kids and stuff. The concert begins. It becomes very quiet because in a symphony, it's very, very quiet when they're not playing loud, you know, and you can hear every single cough and you can hear people breathing. I mean, it's very, very quiet. One of the ladies behind me all of a sudden starts doing this. There's a cough directly behind my head. And I can't see if she's covering her mouth or if it's being strewn into the air to the back of my head. My hair in the back of my head is starting perhaps to be covered by some type of phlegm film. I don't know what's going on back there. I can't turn around. It's rude. I can't do anything about it. I can't change my seat because it's sold out. I can't even move because you don't get up in the middle of a symphony. It's wrong. It's punishable by death. An immediate death at that. Involving fingernails. It's a horrible thing. I'm stuck there. I have the sniffles today. I'm fine. I'm not sick. I have no temperature. I'm not sneezing. I'm not coughing. But I'm still, it's been like 4 or 5 days since that happened. So I guess I'm okay. But what a horrible mental thing. I couldn't enjoy the whole concert as great as it was because I was constantly on my mind, oh God, what am I going to do? 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 It reminded me of a situation that I was in about 8 years previous. I was having dinner with attorney David Casella, who used to be on my show all the time. He was our legal conversation guy. He was on with us once a week. I believe it was every Wednesday. And I was out to lunch with him at a nice lunch place in Easton, Massachusetts called the Stone Forge Grill. Very nice place. And I'm sitting there, and we both order steak. I don't have a lot of steaks at home. You know, it's not easy to do perfectly on a grill. It's tough. So we both order steaks, and the steaks come. And the waitress, it was a female, a female server. I can call her a waitress. She puts the steak down in front of David, his steak. My steak is still on her tray. She's about to put it in front of me. Across the aisle, and it's a very, very narrow aisle, is this woman. And she's sitting there with three other people at this table. Now, the aisle is maybe only 3 feet wide. It's almost like she's sitting at the table with me. And she has a cold. And out of courtesy to the people that she's eating with at her table, when she has to sneeze, she turns away from the people that are at the table with her, and she puts her face toward the aisle. I am just on the other side of that aisle, 3 feet away. So here's what she's doing. She's, to avoid sneezing snot on the guests at her table, she turns toward me and sneezes. Standing in the aisle, 3 feet away from the sneezing woman who turns toward me to sneeze, right there in front of her, when she turns, is my steak on the tray that the waitress is about to put in front of me. And I witness this lady at the next table. She sneezes, half covering her mouth, directly onto my steak. And the waitress still has it on her tray. And I said, I became ballsy. This is the decision of a life. Do you have balls? Do you speak up when you need to speak up? There was a time in my life, perhaps, not many, where I would just have the steak put in front of me and I would eat the steak and say, oh, well, I guess that's what happens. I guess I'm going to be fine. But no, not this day. And I usually don't. And before the waitress can take the steak off her tray and put it in front of me, I said, well, no. And I beckoned the waitress's face closer to me, and I said, that lady behind you just sneezed all over the steak. And there was a pause. There was quiet. Nobody knew what to do. Fortunately, I had to speak up a second time and said, I can't take that steak. She just sneezed all over it. I can't do it. And the waitress said, I understand, sir. And she left with the steak and came back, unfortunately, about 5 minutes later with another steak. By then, my friend David there had already eaten his steak. He tried not to eat it, but I kept saying, your steak's getting cold. Eat your steak, eat your steak, eat your steak. Now, the right thing to do would be the waitress would have taken both steaks back. Because the idea of going to a restaurant with a friend or a date or whatever is to eat dinner with them. So you would take the steak back and serve both new steaks at the same time. That's what they should have done in a place of quality. They didn't do that. And most places wouldn't. That's what I would expect them to do. But I still tipped the waitress. I taped her too. Because it wasn't her fault, and she did bring me a new steak. But it ruined the evening. And I don't know how to handle this. I do, and I handled it accordingly. But there should be some type of rule where if you have a cold, you can't go out. If you have a cough, you can't go out. Because there are other people involved. You should be quarantined. Oh, yeah, but I spent like $100 on these Philharmonic concert tickets. Tough, man. You're quarantined. If they're going to check your pocketbook and check your pants before you walk into a public place, they need to check your face and make sure that you don't have a red nose and a runny nose and a cough and a sneeze. That should be quarantined. You can't go out in public like that. You're not allowed to. You can't do it. You also can't do it if you have a baby. You can't go anywhere if you have a baby. That should be a rule as well. Now, I'm not into dictatorship. Certainly not at all. But those two aspects should be included in dictatorship. Because it's just wrong. It must be stopped immediately. How do you like me now?
That was a really funny story, Ron. But then again, I'm in the third grade.
Interesting. Third grade, she sounds like she's a lot older than that.
You are listening to The Ron Van Dam Show. But you need to know that it's okay. We all make mistakes, and we must learn to forgive ourselves. The universe wants us to be happy, whether or not we listen to The Ron Van Dam Show. Nothing is forever, including The Ron Van Dam Show. You will be fine. The universe will try to forget about this one.
I'm so tired now. Hey, let's talk to our guest. Good morning, Doctor.
Good morning. How are you?
Great. Dr. Rocio Medea joins us now. She's Vice President, Worldwide Nutrition Training at Herbalife Nutrition. Well, you sound like you're doing okay. What part of the country are you in?
Right now we're at Charlotte, North Carolina.
Oh, nice. We're in Boston where it's very cold and snowy.
It's even colder, yeah, I know.
Yeah, I know. Okay.
Stay warm.
I'm doing what I can. Okay, we're talking about something that we talk about frequently because probably number one on everybody's mind for both image purposes and health purposes is losing weight. And it's probably like the number one struggle for every adult unless you happen to be really, really, really lucky. So let's talk about that. Let's talk about eating habits and exercise and how to keep on track to be fit and healthy.
Ron, this is something that really not only worries everyone personally, but also it worries us as health professionals. It's something really difficult to achieve because all the obstacles, all the temptations that we have out there, and we really got caught up on this epidemic, you know, of overweight and obesity, malnutrition, and it's not only about beauty, like you said, it's also about health.
Yeah.
You know, it's so important to stay healthy throughout the years, and you know, the environment right now is not helping that much.
No.
So we believe that building a community of support is something really, really important. You know, it's not only something that we believe, but yeah, it's something that it has been shown in studies.
Okay, when you say a community of support, what would that entail?
A community support is a group of people who have the same desires that you have, who have the same goals that you have, who have gone through the same path, and they already know, you know, the challenges that they have faced. And these communities, you know, support communities have a lot of benefits. One of them is they keep you on track. You know, they can help you to stay on track because, as I told you, obstacles and temptations are out there. And sometimes it's you know, those are the reasons why you stop taking care of yourself or you know, looking for that goal.
Yeah.
And these people help you to stay on track. Number two, these people can give you encouragement. You know, that's something you really need to accomplish this goal. A lot of people find encouragement, you know, themselves, which is really difficult to maintain that in the long term. So these communities or these groups can help you to stay encouraged, to get motivated, you know, every day for any goal. If they call you, they ask you, they share with you, and that, you know, really help you to keep that encouragement. And number three, these communities also teach you. That's something really important, education. You know, we always want to learn. We always want to know what to eat, how to do exercise, what do I do first, how do I start. And these people already know that because they have been there, sometimes, you know, some of them for years, and they can help you. And it is really important that you feel comfortable with these people because they're going to share with you a lot of personal things. They're going to share with you, you know, their experiences. They're going to advise you, and they're going to coach you. They're going to, you know, take your hand and walk with you. And I think that, you know, that really can help you to achieve your goals. That's something that we really believe on, community of support.
Huh. And where do I find these people that can do this for me?
There's a lot of nutrition clubs out there, Ron. that, you know, they're doing this. They're different, you know, people with different goals, you know, with different ages. And you can find, you know, the place for you. And you can visit our page. It's www.herbalife.com. Uh-huh. And you can find this advice and these people. And you will find a place for you, Ron. Everyone can find a place for each of them.
Okay. Because, you know, I always thought that to find these people, they would always try to make me into a bodybuilder because they seem to be obsessed with their bodies. But it doesn't have to go that far, right?
Of course not. No. This is all about healthness. Mm-hmm. It's all about wellness. You know, you said at the beginning that, you know, a lot of people is trying to look better and maybe build muscle. And
yes.
That's a small part of the people. But most of us, we want to stay healthy. And there's, you know, that's important what you mentioned, because you need to look for the right spot for you.
Yeah.
You need to look for the right community for you.
Right.
And there's all kind of communities, you know, people, you know, who's mature and want to start doing exercise, you know, the housewife who wants to start doing, you know, some activity, or even start, you know how to cook. A lot of people advise you and give you recipes.
Yes.
And give you, you know, a lot of tips how to eat healthy or bring a healthier food to your home. There's everything for you. There's everything out there from one point to the other. You know, there's a lot of options, and there's always one option for each of us.
I watch commercials, and I see these fried chicken places and these hamburgers with the grease oozing off of the sides and stuff, and they're supposed to make people really want that, or sizzling bacon. And I say to myself, they're trying to kill us. They're trying to tantalize us with these things, knowing that we're weak. And of course, in this country, that can't be illegal. But I just question, like, why somebody would even go there anymore with all the knowledge that we have.
Ron, I'm so happy that you think that way. And it's been, you know, it's been a fight. It's been a long way, and really. That's why I told you it's difficult when you do it on your own.
Yes.
Because all those temptations that, you know, sometimes people don't know, or they just don't want to know, you know.
Yeah.
And but at the same time, when you're in these communities, when you're with people that it's thinking about, you know, wellness, exercise, you really get contagious, you know, of that environment. And it's something really positive in all ways, you know, any way you want to see it.
Yeah.
It's about helping each other. It's about caring about each other. If that's a community, it's where someone cares about you and advise you in a good way. You know, this food is good for you because of this. This kind of food is not good for you. This kind of, you know, snacks, you can carry on, and you can have them any time of the day because they're healthy. They're going to bring nutrition for you. They're going to bring vitamins and, you know, all your body needs.
Yeah.
And this kind of food is not good for you. And, you know, I think that those advisors, that people who coaches you, they're really know what they're doing because they've been there for years.
Yeah.
And you know, it's really, really important to stay connected. That's the word, because...
Yeah.
That's the best way you're gonna achieve your goals or your success.
Absolutely.
In the long term.
Absolutely.
That's important in the long term.
Yeah, and the reward. I mean, you are healthier, but I think the reward is when you can fit into pants that you haven't worn like for 5 years, or you're going down a pant size or a dress size. That's a reward in itself. You just feel so good about yourself that there's your reward. There's your goal right there.
Yes, that is true. That is true. You can see the results.
Yeah.
You know, you through the weeks and the months, you start to not only see the results but also feel them.
Yeah.
You know, because you feel happier. You have energy.
There's psychology.
You wake up better in the morning,
yes.
And then you have a better, you know, resting night.
Yeah.
And you really feel better. You know,
right.
that's a reality. But it takes weeks, you know, to start feeling the difference.
It's discipline.
Just stay on track, and you will, you know, you will accomplish it. And if you stay on track longer than a couple of weeks and a month, you're going to start feeling the benefit. And you won't leave it. You'll stay there.
Yeah.
That's a reality. Yes.
I can't tell you how much money I've spent on gym equipment in my basement that ends up just hanging clothes on it. And it's the support that would make me actually use it. So again, where do I go for this information?
Visit the page www.herbalife.com.
Uh-huh.
And you'll find, you know, anything that you need.
Great.
All the support that you need, all the information that you need. And there is a place for each of us. Believe me, a wide range of interests and desires and goals, and you'll find a spot for you.
Well, Dr. Medina, thank you so much for your time today.
Ron, thank you.
Bye-bye.
Good day.
Bye-bye.
Have a good day.
You too.
Bye.
Well, that's about it for today. This has been a very special moment in my life with you. I kind of feel like we bonded in a very awkward manner. Because you listened and I talked and there was a communication, there was a connection between us. Do you feel it as well? Let's do this again tomorrow. Is that okay with you? It doesn't have to be the same time. I know you got stuff to do. I do too. Believe me, I have a life beyond this. Oh yeah, I put my pants on just the same way you do. Over my head. As you do. You don't? Oh, okay. Guess we don't have that in common. Anyway, you're just great. I don't know how to put it any more tastefully. You're the kind of person that if I had a choice to be friends with, I would consider it after the application and the blood test came back. You know, it's possible. We could be friends. I don't really think so, but the possibility is kind of enough for me to call it a relationship that could have happened, and that's special. That's very special. I wish you peace. After this music and the show is over, would you mind sticking around like for 15 seconds to take a short survey? Thank you. I appreciate it. Hold on. All right, thank you for hanging out for another 15 seconds. We do these surveys every once in a while. It helps build our audiences and it helps critique what we do here on New England Broadcasting. Here's a question to you. Did you enjoy today's show?
It was unbelievably painful.
Oh.
Whatever.